Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of issues, etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
But as I've said before, and I repeat it to President Hu, we have some core views as Americans about the universality of certain rights, freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
The terminology that I used, I believe, seemed to disenfranchise other religions, and it certainly was not meant to do that.
Neither side, whether political left or political right, should claim Jesus as he's our mascot.
Luther is offering us a conservative reformation to not throw out things that the Roman Church does just because they do it. That's an overreaction.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love issues, etc.
It is something that many Christians live without, sad to say. A real biblical understanding of their life, of their place in the world, of living in the world but not of the world, of how it is the Christian goes about his daily deeds without constantly being tyrannized by that nagging question, is this God's will? Is that God's will? Am I doing it just right? Am I doing what I should do right now? Should I be reading my Bible now? Should I be in church calling pastor, see if he needs some help? Many Christians, if they're honest with themselves, are nagged by guilt when they just go about their daily business. Should a Christian feel guilty for going to work and doing his job? Or a Christian woman feel guilty for staying home and taking care of the kids when there are Bible classes to be attended at church? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, January the 24th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the Christian life for the first half hour of the program. Pastor Chad Hoover will join us. Deaconess Pam Nielsen will be with us after that to round off the first hour. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we usually do with her. Jesus blesses Zacchaeus, the tax collector. St. Timothy is remembered on this day by the church, and we'll do the same with Dr. Peter Scare in the second hour of the program. A little later in that hour, we'll begin a five-part daily series on the Crusades, a much misunderstood subject of history. We'll talk about the origins of the Crusades and the First Crusade. Dr. Matt Phillips of Concordia University, Nebraska, will be our guest. You can be our guest for the next 2 hours, joining us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or an email right here in the studio, talkback at IssuesETC.org. You can visit our Facebook fan page, leave questions or comments for part one of our series on the Crusades, Facebook.com/IssuesETC, Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Chad Hoover is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan. He's author of a chapter in the Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. Pastor Hoover's chapter is titled Vocation, God Serves Through Us. Chad, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hello, Todd.
Why is it so many Christians, when they hear this, perhaps for the first time, the teaching of vocation from Scripture, find this so incredibly comforting? It seems so mundane talking about a Christian's vocation.
It does. In fact, I think the reason why people find it comforting is because there's this thought that you have to be doing something special in order for God to recognize it as something good. You have to maybe be doing something in service to your church, or you have to do something that isn't ordinary. But the doctrine of vocation doesn't tell us that. It tells us that whatever your station in life, whatever opportunities you have and whatever relationships you have with people around you, whatever you're doing as a Christian, God is working through you, and you are doing what he would recognize as good works because of who you are in Christ.
With about a minute, expand on this. You used the term, I used it before as well, station in life. It's kind of a Luther's way of describing the Christian's place in the world. What does it mean? About a minute.
Well, it means basically who are you as far as your life on earth? Are you a father or a mother? Are you a son or a daughter? Do you go to school? Are you a student? Do you have a job? Do you have employees under you? Do you have an employer who's above you? Just basically whatever your relationship is with the people around you, that's your station. That's where God has placed you. That's where you have an opportunity to live out your Christian life. And however God decides to use you in those ways, it's a blessing to us because the Holy Spirit works through us in ways that we may not even realize or know. But we know that He is, because we are His children, that He is working through us.
With about 30 seconds, that sounds really, really simple. That sounds so much less complicated than trying to find God's will on a day-to-day or minute-by-minute basis.
It does. And like with most things in theology, it sounds so simple, yet at the same time, it's so difficult for us to understand at times because we have this mentality that surely it can't be that simple. I must do something more. Surely God must recognize my good works apart from His working through me, because otherwise, you know, how would I have been pleasing Him with my works if they weren't good in and of themselves?
Well, when we come back, we'll talk more about the Christian life, Christian vocation, and its comfort. Pastor Chad Hoover is our guest. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan. Stay tuned.
What He did on that cross is more than enough. Look around you. Who is your neighbor?
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Hi, this is Kate in Japan, and I'm commenting on the program you had about the Unification Church.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
The most important point is to say I love your show and thank you for doing what you do. Bye from Japan.
Old theology, new technology, Issues Etc. worldwide. Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Christian life, Christian vocation. Pastor Chad Hoover is our guest. Pastor Hoover, you mentioned before the break that the Christian, often the worry is about good works. Are my good works good in and of themselves? Reorient our thinking on good works, especially in light of this teaching from Scripture on vocation.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of times people will equate Christianity as a religion of morality, that's the whole point of Christianity, that you have to be moral. And in being moral and doing good things, that God will then recognize those things and then somehow reward you for those good works. Christianity, though, and biblical Christianity, does not have that focus. The focus is first upon Christ and upon his justification, that is, his sacrifice for your sins, covering your sins, making you new first. Your status changes. You become someone new because of Christ. He is in you and working through you. And it's at that point, after he's changed you already, that your works then can be pleasing to him. And it's no longer an issue of, I need to work for my salvation so that God will be pleased with me, but rather it's, God has already provided salvation for me through Christ. Now I am free to do good works. I am free to serve my neighbor without any concern for my own salvation because Christ already took care of that for me. Now I get to joyfully serve him by serving others.
There are two aspects to this you describe. One is, this is how God serves the world. This isn't just Christians serving one another. This is how God actually sees to providing for the needs of the whole world. And then the one you've already discussed, how God gives us a place of service, this kind of free service, because we don't have to spend our lives worrying about ourselves. Talk about the first one, God's provision for the world through vocation.
Well, God does provide, you know, for the world through other people. And even Christians are served by God through other non-Christians, people who don't realize that God is using them to provide for us. A good example of that might be, you know, when you're sick and you're in the hospital, you've got so many people caring for you, and you recover, you go home, and you say, thank God that he helped me through that situation, but yet how did he do it? He did it through doctors and nurses and all sorts of people who are working in that building who may or may not be Christians, but who are serving you. And the same thing is true for a non-Christian, whether or not they understand it or know it. God is serving them through his creation, through the way in which he has oriented things to operate within this world. He is operating behind the scenes, if you will, as using these various vocations and various people to serve everyone and provide everyone with what they need in order to live in this life.
Is there such a thing, because you were talking in broad terms at the beginning of our conversation about kind of wherever God places you, Is there a word of caution that does need to be heard about ungodly vocations? That is, vocations that people may choose for themselves, but that God would by no means place someone in?
Certainly, yeah. You definitely can't say that you are God-pleasing in your vocation if you're doing some illegal activity or if it's an activity that harms someone. It's something that's beneficial to the society or to the culture, to the community. God isn't going to work through you to produce evil. He's going to work through you in a way which is productive and beneficial.
Now, what's the relationship here of Christian vocation and living by faith, so to speak?
Say the question again.
What's the relationship between Christians are called to live by faith, that is, faith in the Son of God.
Okay.
And often that is depicted as someone kind of concentrating on Jesus all the time,
right,
and being of no earthly good. You say it's quite the opposite. Living by faith is quite neighbor-oriented.
Yes, it is. I mean, think of the epistle that James writes. He says that faith without works is dead. It's an evidence of your faith. It's something that you're saved by faith alone, but faith is never alone. It's something that naturally is going to come out of that faith relationship that you have with God, the fact that you then are transformed by him, and your works then are transformed, your attitude is transformed, so that faith, if it is alive, is going to produce good works.
What do you say to someone who says, look, you're a pastor, so it's easy to kind of talk about Christian vocation and spiritual vocation. I drive a bus, or I work in an office. I don't even really like my job that much. Perhaps at this point, I'm unemployed. It doesn't feel like spiritual good works.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of going back to what you'd asked me originally about the joy of this theology of vocation, because even in the midst of something that maybe is less than satisfying or fulfilling for you in this life, to understand that God is indeed working through you, and it might not be in some spectacular way that you can see all the time, and truthfully, it's not always working that way for a pastor either, where they can see the fruits of how God is working through them. But it's a service to people. Talking about a bus driver, God is working through that bus driver to provide a service for other people. And it's all kind of about attitude also. With that understanding that God is working through you, that he's placed you in a unique position where you get to see a lot of people throughout the day, and you have the potential to affect that person's day in some way or another, that's pretty powerful stuff when you think about it. But it's also an opportunity for us to meet with other people, to discuss things with other people, talk with other people that we might not have had otherwise had we not had that particular job or that particular vocation in life.
Doesn't this mean we have to reorient our thinking with regard to who our neighbor is?
Oh, certainly. Our neighbor, and I talk about too in one of the sections in the book, is as far as vocation within the home. Our neighbors, our closest neighbors, are obviously those people who live within our own home, our spouse or our children. Those should be considered neighbors. And also then our neighbors are our physical neighbors who maybe live in the house next to us, but also people who live within the community, people who live within the city, or people who live within the state or the nation. These are all of our neighbors, people who are around us, people that we come into contact with.
What are the vocations in the home that you're talking about? Be specific.
Specifically, husband and wife, obviously. It's kind of like when two people decide to get married, there's a new vocation then that's created within that relationship. Before, they were boyfriend, girlfriend, or fiancé, and they had other relationships with their families, fathers and mothers at home. But then they leave their father and mother and come together as husband and wife, and they've started then a new relationship with one another, one of husband and wife. And as husband and wife, God has actually given them certain duties within that relationship. It's a God-given establishment of marriage. For example, looking at Ephesians 5, to see those various roles that man and woman have in marriage. And then also when children come into the home, a mother and a father have certain roles to fulfill on behalf of those children that God has placed within their care. Ephesians 6 talks about that. And then also, too, children have a responsibility towards parents as well. There's a vocation there of being a child, being someone who is younger, and looking to your parents, and as God says in the commandments, to obey them, because God has given them to you to care for you.
So all around us, I mean, at every point in our lives, there are neighbors to be served and vocations to be exercised. It sounds as though it's not as though I have one or just a few. I, in fact, have many.
Many, yes, many.
And then I guess kind of the other question that stems from the beginning of our conversation is, Christians are asking, what do I do? What do I do? How do I do it? A lot of sermons focus on telling Christians what to do. Sounds like it's all right there in front of you. I mean, you've got a crying baby. You've got a couple choices. You should be feeding it or changing its diaper or putting it to bed. There's a lot to do there.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that's geared toward your natural gifts and abilities that God's already given you. If you have the ability of being a wonderful writer, or for you, for instance, for being a wonderful host on a radio talk show, that God then provides an opportunity for you to use those gifts to serve other people, that's great. For other people who say, I don't like being on the radio, I don't want to talk to people, they might have a different gift that would serve in a different area of life, and God works through that just as well.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation for a few minutes with Pastor Chad Hoover. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan. He's author of the chapter in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality, titled Vocation, God Serves Through Us. Your questions or comments are welcome. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc, or in advance of our conversation with Dr. Matt Phillips later on the Crusades, beginning a 5-part daily series with him on the beginning of the Crusades and the First Crusades, their origins and the very First Crusade. Our Facebook fan page for your questions and comments, facebook.com/issuesETC, facebook.com/issuesETC. When we come back, we move from the home where all of us have a common vocation or vocations. They change over time a little bit. But you're always a son or a daughter, even if your parents are no longer there. If you have siblings, you're always a sibling. Some of those are lifelong. Some of them begin later in life, like husband and wife, parent that begins later in life. And some of them change throughout life, like those of us who began as children and then students now have jobs to do. We'll move to the workplace. Talking about Christian vocation after this.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Today I'm in Washington, D.C., along with a few hundred thousand of my closest pro-life friends. We've gathered for the annual March for Life. We're joined by tens of thousands of others holding events in their local communities. All of us are publicly standing up for unborn babies and their mothers who are victims of the abortion industry. As we march, I ask you to pray. Pray God will bring an end to the modern-day Holocaust of abortion. Pray He'll effectively use us to bring about this change. Pray for women and men who are faced with an unexpected pregnancy and considering abortion. Please also pray for the many mothers and fathers who've chosen abortion and now struggle with their decision. Every 23 seconds, another heart is stilled by abortion.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. A few more minutes talking about the Christian's life, Christian vocation. Pastor Chad Hoover as our guest, then Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us. We'll be talking with her about Jesus blessing Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Kathy's on the phone. She's listening in St. Charles, Missouri. Hi, Kathy.
Yeah, hi. I know the pastor had just spoke about God using our natural abilities, but sometimes in our vocations, God calls us places that we really aren't very good at. I just think of scripturally, I think of Moses. He did not want to speak up because he wasn't naturally good at speaking. I just think of others in, you know, Matthew. He was a tax collector, yet Jesus called him to be, you know, one of the 12. I just think that that's something else, too, that sometimes God calls us to do things that we're not so maybe naturally good at, but He wants to stretch us and make us grow.
Kathy, thank you very much. It's a good comment. What do you think about that? God not only calling us into a vocation, but out of something else, especially out of our, even in our inabilities.
That's absolutely true, and that's a wonderful point that she makes as well, that sometimes living the Christian life can be, as you said, as simple as just living your life, but sometimes there can be unexpected obstacles or things that God's calling you into that you're saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't know if I can do this. And it's at those times, if you look at the biblical examples that she cited as well, where you realize that even more so, that it's God working through that person to do something extraordinary that maybe they wouldn't be able to do on their own. And that's kind of one of the comforts of the Christian life in general, too, is that when Christians are suffering, when Christians face obstacles, we don't have to face them alone. We know that we have the comfort of Christ and his salvation for us, but also that we have the comfort of the community of Christ around us, those people who are part of our church, our local church, or even our church body, that God is serving us through them as well and uplifting us in those times when we're suffering or when we're saying, I don't know if I can do this.
Finally, then, speak to someone who feels as though they have lost a vocation. That is, they don't know what they're supposed to be doing. Either they are unemployed or perhaps even they've lost a loved one. They now are a widow rather than a wife.
Right.
Or someone who's, because of age, spending most of their time sitting around and saying,
right,
what good am I to God? How can God serve through me? Speak to them, Pastor.
Sure. You know, one thing, too, that and I get that question quite a bit as far as the last one with people who are saying, I used to be so active at the church, but now I just can't do that anymore. Or I used to be able to do all of these things, and now I can't even get to church anymore. And that's just so distressing for them and very difficult for them to come to terms with, that a lot of what they would see as being good Christian living, they can't do anymore. But actually, you know, when God closes one door, it seems as if there are other doors that are opening that maybe you didn't realize at first. One of those, an example of that would be someone in that situation where they can say, you know, I'm sitting around my house now, and I find that I'm praying for people in my church, and I'm praying more now than I ever did before, or I'm reading the Bible more, and I'm able to share that with people who come and visit with me more. And that's pretty amazing that God has opened sort of a new vocation in them, something that they've already had the opportunity to do but maybe never really found the time to do or really found the benefit of doing until they were faced with that obstacle that prevented them from doing the things that they really wanted to do or thought that God would have them do. That they're able to do something different, something even better in some respects.
Pastor Chad Hoover is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kalkaska, Michigan, author of A Chapter in the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. His chapter is titled Vocation, God Serves Through Us. Find out more about this great book. It's The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Lutheran Spirituality. Call Concordia Publishing House and order it, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Thank you very much, Pastor Hoover.
You're welcome.